Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Meet the Movie Press. Roundtable movie news and commentary from the industry's premier film journalists.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Meet the Movie Press. Happy Friday. Oh, my Lord. Look who's sitting next to me. I'll talk about that guy over there. But
forget about me. We're in the presence of royalty.
I know. We are in the presence of royalty. Guys, Red Fury, Alicia Malone
Red
here.
Red Fury's in the house.
I've never heard that before.
You've never heard Red Fury?
Doesn't it suit me?
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm the least furious person you'll meet.
She is known as Red Fury out there in Schmoville.
I like it.
Many memes. Memes?
Yeah,
right?
lots of memes.
Lots of memes. Lots of well-deserved. Yeah. Red Fury, didn't it come from our Ultimate Schmodown trivia contest?
It did, because I wanted to do a big grand entrance, wrestling style, and so I was wondering what my name should be.
Right.
And a few people suggested Red Fury, and I thought that was hilarious, because I'm so happy all the time that I'm the least furious person around, but...
It's very true.
I do get a little bit angry. Last night on Schmo's show, Mark Ellis got a pen to the face.
Oh,
so just don't cross me.
Oh, my God.
Red Fury coming out in style. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for joining us here on Meet the Movie Press on a Friday. I am Mark Riley, editor-in-chief of Schmoesno.com.
Jeff Snyder, film reporter, TheWrap.com.
And as we already said, the Red Fury, Alicia Malone, is here from Malone's Movie Minute, from AMC Independent, from... Jeez, Fandango,
yep.
From...
Profiles.
Every brand wants to be in business with her.
From the Oscars.
Just in general, the Oscars, yeah.
Just, you were there.
Yeah.
You looked fantastic, by the way. You did look like you stepped out of a classic film.
Yeah. That's what I was going for.
We saw you on E, which is the best of the one-letter networks.
Yeah. It has an exclamation point,
yeah.
So it's extra exciting.
Right.
That was really fun. I got to do the just the online live stream.
Yeah.
And the best part was I was hired as an expert. So I could come in and just drop some facts, get dressed up, and then I was done early and I could go kick off my shoes and watch the show.
And who were you wearing?
Don't even know. Thank you.
God.
I don't even know. There's a great service called Rent the Runway where you can rent these great dresses for like $50. That's what I did.
Oh, I should try that.
It's good. With
Lupita Nyong'o, she rented hers. No, wait. No, that's not true.
Hope she had insurance.
It got stolen.
Yeah, can you believe that? That got stolen. But, okay, so let's jump right in. How did you get that gig? Did they just, they saw you on, Profiles and said, that's an expert right there. Let's bring her in.
No, it was through Fandango. So I've been doing more and more stuff with Fandango. And because they're part of NBC Universal, they send out various correspondents to cover things on the shows. And I did something for E! About 50 Shades of Grey, just talking about the crazy box office and some of the facts and figures from Fandango and the amount of tickets that they sold. And then he liked me and they said, well, we're using Dave Carger a lot for the main broadcast, but we need someone for the online broadcast. Would you like to do that? And I was like, sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then the best part is when you're working for a big place like that, they send a car to pick you up.
Oh,
it's like,
nice.
There was a guy to hold my bag. I mean, it's kind of crazy. I had them hair and makeup.
Was there somebody like in the back with the umbrella because it was raining?
I was like, I could get used to this. They're like, can I get you anything?
Mysterious.
Next week we're going to have an interview with the guy who actually held Alicia's bag.
Yeah.
I know. Kevin, he was really nice. I was like, I'm all right. I can manage it. He's like, no. I've got it for you.
By the way, I'm more shocked that that's not JT's day job.
I know, right? Phil, coming in from the booth. How you doing, Phil? Good?
Doing good today.
All right.
Filling in for JT because he's got some bag holding to do.
Yeah, come on.
I would actually, if I was going to hold anyone's bag, it would be yours.
Thank you.
It's Alicia Malone, the Red Fury.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's awesome. Yeah, I watched a little bit of it, and then I was watching it with my girlfriend and my parents, which that is hilarious, just watching the Oscars with my mother who knows, I didn't get that one.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get that movie. And then her boyfriend, who is the crotchety old man that actually cursed and left when Grand Budapest Hotel won its, like, fourth Oscar
really?
For whatever.
Didn't like it?
Oh, he hated that movie.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, he went now this these assholes are going to give him more money to make these movies. And he just left. And I'm like, oh, my God. I was trying to film him on the way out. It was way too funny.
The show, you know, I like the opening number. I thought it started strong.
Yes.
And then it just got worse and worse. And nothing that Neil Patrick Harris did could really save it.
Yeah.
Way too many musical numbers. Let's hope Zayden and Marin are replaced next year.
Yeah.
I agree. It's Neil Patrick Harris should just sing and dance. He's like Hugh Jackman to me.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy, and you want to see him do his big musical numbers, but you don't want to see him do mean jokes.
You bring him in as like a ringer, sort of. I don't think he has the stamina to go the whole show. He doesn't have that. He can't improvise if something doesn't necessarily work.
Yeah.
It seemed like he just cut and run half the time. He was like, let's just wrap this up.
And that last bit really fell flat for me. You know, I wanted to actually see his Oscar
the predictions
picks,
and
the
everything.
Predictions.
Oh, God.
But then,
I was like, dude, just announce the awards. Like, this show is 47 minutes over already.
Yeah, we don't need this. And also, I know they said you could watch the box online if you wanted to see it the whole time. Who was going to do that?
I know.
It's boring.
I spent Oscar night watching a box.
Yeah, to make sure that it wasn't. It's a Chris Angel
Amazing.
Trick I've seen done before.
But sure, yeah. So,
it doesn't work in that setting.
So what do you guys think? So talking about Oscars, were you guys surprised at all by any of the outcome?
No, the only one I was surprised by was Best Animated Film.
Right, Big Hero 6.
I was too.
Big Hero 6 would get that. But I wasn't sad about it. They're both great movies.
Yeah.
I just thought it was going to go to Dragon, too.
I was upset because I'm a huge How to Train Your Dragon fan, and I thought it was far and away a more superior movie. But yeah. I still like Big Hero 6.
Okay.
It's a good movie.
I still haven't seen it yet. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and you know what? I just caught up on it on Tuesday when it came out, and so I liked it, but I didn't think it was Best Animated Picture
You
know, it was good, but it was a little formulaic for me. It was just like I kind of knew
what was
going.
The villain was pretty weak.
Yeah, the villain was very weak, and I kind of, you know, it was pointing to one guy, and I'm like, no, that's...
It's obvious.
It's very obvious, so, but good kids movie.
So it's interesting. So you got to watch the show, you know, with your family.
Yeah.
You had to do, you know, do
stuff. Well, the good thing was I was done before the show, so I went to Josh McCougar's place with the B-team from Schmoes, and I watched it with them.
Yeah, I saw some pictures.
That B-team is lucky.
I was all dressed up. And
I was in the office, like, writing sidebars and everything. What's funny is what sort of carried us on Monday, which was obviously a slow news day because everyone's been out the night before,
right.
Was a superhero sidebar. Just like it became like this thing last weekend to crap on superhero movies.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Even someone like Dan Gilroy, who did Nightcrawler, which was my favorite movie of last year, he said something at the Independent Spirit Awards.
Yeah, which I thought was a joke. I don't think it was super serious.
I think everything was kind of tongue-in-cheeky and jokey because Hollywood knows that it needs blockbusters to balance out. You know, if we want these prestige pictures and these indie movies, you still have to
make the other ones.
Right, exactly. So it became like this sort of hot topic. I don't think that Dan Gilroy or who else?
James Gunn.
Jack Black and the song.
Yeah, Jack Black, Dan Gilroy, and then James Gunn comes back and, you know, puts his Facebook status update out there.
Because as James pointed out, Dan Gilroy is married to Rene Russo, who's in the Thor movies. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Which...
I know. I find this really interesting. I'm so fascinated by the way that the film industry is going and where it's changing and how they are putting a lot of money into these big tentpole films these days and less into the middle ground films and less funding for the indie films, although at least they still get distributed and they still get out there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Indies are more my jam.
Of course.
I know, and you're talking to the right person.
Me too.
I'm glad you brought it up. Because
but nine of the 20 nominees star in comic book movies. Or 11 of them.
Yeah, I know. They do one for the other.
Right,
but also interesting to see at the Oscar nominees that most of them are indie films.
See, that's my point. You know, you got all
indie,
these...
Indie,
indie,
by the way.
Big indie.
Yeah, Fox starts paying for things.
Yeah.
Right. So, these movies like Birdman and Boyhood and Whiplash and all these movies that are nominated for Best Picture and or actors writing all these kind of good stuff. Then, Benedict Cumberbatch, obviously... He's Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Guys, we have some breaking news here.
Wait a minute.
What?
Did you see?
Hold on. What is it?
We have some breaking news, and it's sad. It's sad.
Oh, no.
The New York Times is reporting that Spock, Leonard Nimoy, has died at 83.
Oh, my God.
Leonard Nimoy dead at 83, folks, according to the New York Times.
Oof. Oh, that is not... That ruins my day.
That's really sad. Was he sick?
Cause was end-stage chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
Yeah, I heard he
attributed to years of smoking.
Oh, no.
A habit he'd given up 3 decades ago.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's really sad.
Tough one this morning, folks. Leonard Nimoy, it's a big one.
Oh, man.
For all the Trek fans, it's
all the Trek fans. Oh, Mance.
Mance, I know.
Mance.
Scott Mance is a huge Star Trek fan.
Oh, no. That's really sad. Guys, I don't even know what to say to that. That's one of those, gut punches, you know, because it's Leonard
Nimoy. Try to celebrate the man and his work today, folks. Tweet out some nice things.
Yeah, everybody go out there and just, you know, send the guy some love, you know. And I know, I mean, God, that's I don't even have to say that. That's happening as we speak. I'm watching my Twitter feed go nuts right now.
Yeah.
Holy crap. You know.
Live long and prosper, folks.
Yeah.
Focus on the prosper. Because we don't know how long we got.
Yep. Leonard Nimoy, who tweeted out February 22nd, "A life is like a garden. Perfect moments can be had, but not preserved, except in memory. Live long and prosper."
Aww.
Empire Magazine just retweeted Leonard Nimoy's, probably his last tweet. He might have actually, he was tweeting out in the hospital that he was kind of hanging in there. But
really?
Yeah. Good Lord. Yeah. Well, I don't even know what you say to that. Jeez. I'm speechless. Yeah. So many people. Shit. Rip. R.I.P.
We could spend the whole show on this, folks. We are going to try and lift the mood in just a minute and talk about some of this week's superhero news and whatnot. But just wanted to note that passing live on the air.
Yeah. Whew, guys. Yeah. Well, everybody go out there. Go out and hug your friend. Call your mom. You know, these are the kind
Vulcan
of things.
Salute.
Yeah, give the Vulcan salute. You know, guys, let's give the Vulcan salute.
I can't do it, but live long and prosper.
Live long
indeed.
And prosper. You guys, that's
impressive, both of you.
That is the saddest news of the day that you'll get probably of the year. So, damn. Oh, man. All right, let's try to lighten it up.
All right.
For Leonard.
So, what should we start things off
well,
with?
Well, I want to keep talking to Alicia because she has one of the best shows here on the Popcorn Talk Network.
Ooh.
Maybe
apart from this one.
Yeah. Second to Meet the Press. But Profiles with Malone and Mance. It's one of my go-to podcasts when I'm driving down Orange County sometimes to visit family. You guys hit number one on iTunes like a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, that was really cool.
That's amazing.
Because you look at the list of all the podcasts that reach the top 10 in TV and film, and you think they have massive teams behind them, whereas here it's me, Mance, and JTE or Phil or whoever's in the booth, and that's
right.
It.
Yeah.
And we do everything, and so we feel like the little show that could, you know?
And it is. It is the little show that could. So I need to ask, how do you get these guests?
It's Mance.
Is it Mance?
Yeah, it's Mance. Mance has connections because he's worked in the industry for so long.
Yeah.
He's worked for Access Hollywood, and all the publicists love him, and they trust him. And so when he goes to them and asks for a favor, they will pull strings. This weekend, we're sitting down with Al Pacino to talk to Al Pacino about Al Pacino, about his whole career.
Wow.
It should probably be for 4 minutes, but that's pretty unheard of that a small little podcast gets time with someone like Al Pacino. So
well,
I'm excited.
One of my favorites was when you did John Williams, because I'm a huge John Williams fan of movie music and everything, and you had Richard Donner call in.
Yeah.
And talk about...
And he told great stories about listening to the Superman theme for the first time.
Yeah.
And just being so overwhelmed with emotion and seeing Christopher Reeve hear it for the first time. And it's really great. Those moments like that is what's so special. And I still think back to the moment when Francis Ford Coppola called in.
I was going to say, I was going to mention a couple off the top of my head. Francis Ford Coppola, you guys, I know, were both sitting there. I was listening.
When he said hello.
Yeah.
I was like, hello? And he said hi. I was like, oh my God. What?
It's like having Santa Claus call you. It's amazing.
Literally. He's
so
the
cool.
Santa Claus of film.
It's so cool. I mean, I speak to people all the time. I've interviewed pretty much everyone you can name, but for junkets. But it feels more special when they call in for your own little show rather than do it for Today Show Australia or anything like that.
Right. And it's a little show that could. And not only that, you guys are a lover of his films, like his classics. And what's isn't it? Mance's Apocalypse Now, is that one of his favorite movies?
That's one of his favorite all-time movies. And so, that's the thing with the show is I feel like there's so much snark out there, there's so much negativity when it comes to movies and reporting on movies that we love to keep it super enthusiastic and super positive. And I know some people don't like that tone, but then a lot of people do. It's like a celebration of film, things that we love.
That's so exactly
just
true.
Film geeks.
I'm like the Grinch of the industry. Let's talk about everything I hate.
I know. I remember being scared of you when I first met you because I was like, you're mean on Twitter. Mm. But then I met you, I'm like,
not
oh,
mean
no,
to you
really
though,
nice.
Alicia.
Really
no,
nice.
I always say his tweet
They're
is worse than his bite.
Just yeah. In general.
I gotta pick my targets.
So let's. I kind of want to dovetail into what happened last week because it was very interesting for me when you took to Twitter with this. We talked a little bit. I know we're going to go into a little bit of superhero stuff, and let's talk about Spider-Man because you dropped something live on
That's
air.
That's right, because I was 95%, and this is a place where I feel comfortable talking about rumors and mentioning things I don't necessarily have confirmation on.
Right, it's so, a good discussion piece.
So yeah, but you know, I guess it was my mistake. Like I'm sitting here, I feel like we're having an intimate conversation. I can't really see the audience, though obviously right. I know that plenty of people are listening.
Sure.
But yeah, it's like if I'm not writing it, like I get paid by the rep. That's the only place that pays me.
Right.
So if I'm not putting it up there, it's obviously not really at the reportable stage for me.
Right.
I mean, we like to be 99-100% sure on stuff.
Absolutely.
95 honestly is not enough, but clearly it was for the internet.
I thought it was interesting. It showed something to me because the same thing happened a bunch of shows ago when I said I heard the Deadpool movie is going to be PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
They picked that up and I'm like, guys, I just you know, this is a conversation I had. I don't have any, I'm the same way. I don't
right.
have some solid gold, you know, source here. And in fact, I read a tweet by the creator of Deadpool that said it might be PG-13. Why didn't you pick up that?
Right.
Who the hell am I?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I like it. Well, I think it's interesting because you every single blog that I respect and admire covered this.
Sure.
And then I saw the trolls come out in droves.
Oh, hardcore.
Saying, who the hell is this guy? You don't know. He's just, you know.
Well, a lot of it was the press release. The press release said this. You guys don't understand how press releases are made, okay?
Yeah. Please.
It is some woman in an office who's given like 20 minutes to put this thing together. It is not as people. I don't even think the people writing it are parse through it as closely as the fans do.
Yeah, right. True.
Yeah,
and plus it had like, you know, Doug Belgrad was the one who is the Peter Parker of it all is attributed to.
Okay,
guess what? Doug's not running the studio anymore.
There you go.
It's like these things are fluid.
Well, I think it's the interesting part for me is it felt almost like, lack of a better term, clickbait for some of these things. It started
for sure.
this like it was a snowball. It got bigger and bigger, and it was a boulder. And I mean, everybody's covering it. And some of my writers were like, "Do we cover this?" And I'm like, "No, I was sitting right there."
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Everyone's just hungry for news, so they hear something, they're like, "Oh, let's do it."
It's like, I guess, like I said, I blame myself with someone quoted back, "With great power comes great responsibility."
Sure.
And it's like, am I not allowed to say anything without it being the rap reporter? You know,
right.
Can I not have an opinion? Or maybe it was the way that I worded it or whatever. But listen, I still have a pretty strong feeling that it is not going to be white. I think he could be mixed race.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
I think it's an absolute great call,
Latino
by the way.
Review came out and they were like, well, we're 96% sure he's going to be white. So it's like, I'm not going to get into a pissing match with these guys.
Latino Review.
I love
on.
Latino Review.
Of
so,
course. We got them all on here.
You know,
I love those guys.
Let's all just agree to be patient.
But do you think that's what Robert Downey Jr. is going to announce next week when he says he's going to announce something?
It's, you know what? I had the conspiracy theorist, my good buddy, my managing editor of Schmozno.com, Alex Welsh. Happy birthday, my friend.
Oh, happy birthday,
His
Alex.
Birthday is tomorrow. I love that kid. He came with me with a reach as well. I think I don't know where he was listening to this, but like 8 days announcement. Spiders have 8 legs. I'm like,
I love this.
Danny Elfman is doing additional music on Avengers. He did Spider-Man. I'm like, okay, and I'm not making fun of you, Alex. You know that. I just think that, you know, you and the rest of the whole internet is trying to piece this
together. Everyone's just so excited. They want to get some kind of
news. I would be very surprised if it was Robert Downey Jr. who gets
to announce it.
It's just like, yeah. It's 8 days from now. So, I mean, it's almost like Babe Ruth, like, calling a shot. Like, mm-hmm. If there really is going to be a Spider-Man announcement in 8 days, I think that the press will somehow find out before then.
I think so, too.
And I just don't know, like, why 8 days? Why not 7 days? Like, how does he know exactly how long this deal is going to take with whoever it is? I mean, I honestly don't think that in 8 days we're going to know who it is.
No, and I would... You know, everybody's like, oh, it's going to be Spider-Man in Age of Ultron. I don't think that... I mean, it could. I'm never going to say never now because of this post-credits. Yeah, that's what I was going to go with.
Does every Marvel rumor have to be about Spider-Man now because they're involved?
I mean, yes. Breaking news, yes.
I think that you're actually going to get the identity of another superhero before then.
I think so, too.
Another major superhero. Not Marvel. Yeah. That's all I'll say.
Oh, there you go.
I don't want to tip off the competitors.
Yeah, and calm down out there. Don't break news off this.
I'm hearing a decision has been made on a major comic book character. I can't speak this morning.
Okay,
but I'm here.
Miss Marvel.
Doing that. I'm not going to say.
Miss Marvel. It's Miss Marvel.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay, cool.
Let's stop the rumors.
Yeah.
But speaking of superhero identities, I did sort of want to just bring up X-Men really quickly.
Let's talk about
it. So we did a story, and I'd like to discuss the whole kind of young cast, because we haven't really gotten into it much on the show, I don't think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we did a story this week. I'd be varied by a couple of minutes on this one, because I know Kroll was on it, our boy Justin.
Yeah, it was on last week.
Ben Hardy from EastEnders is joining X-Men Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bryan Singer has not tweeted that out yet.
Right.
Oh, interesting. That's right.
And so while the initial tip came in, it was like, yo, he's playing Angel. I made some calls. I was assured he... And then the tip, like 15 minutes after the tip came in, he was like, you know, actually, I'm not sure about that Angel stuff.
Okay.
I made some calls. I asked, is he playing Angel? I got a definitive denial, even though, after I do the story, everyone's like, well, he's got to be playing Angel. It says in the story he's not playing Angel.
That's funny.
And so what I hear, and a lot of people guess Colossus, because apparently Colossus is part of the script, I think that this kid is going to probably be Iceman.
I like that. And it makes sense. He looks the part. He looks the part of Iceman. So it makes sense to me. So,
and it's like when I got the tip again and was checking it out, they were like, no, he's not playing Angel. He's got some very like common name like Mike or, you know, whatever the hell it is.
Right.
Bobby, right?
It's Bobby.
Bobby,
yeah,
Iceman.
That's a pretty all-American kind of name.
Yep.
So for just, you know, if I had to wager a guess, this is not reporting. This is me wagering a guess.
Yeah.
I think my educated guess is Iceman.
I love that you're like a movie detective.
Jeff Snyder movie detective.
He is. Making calls, checking facts.
Well, who does these things anymore?
Yeah. It's cool. I like it.
Facts. Hey!
I like that.
Jeff Snyder.
So what do you guys think of the young cast? We've got Cody Smith-McPhee as Nightcrawler. Who is it? Sophie Turner as Jean Grey. Ty Sheridan as Cyclops. Alexander Shipp.
Oh, yeah. Alexander Shipp.
Take it away, guys.
I love Cody Smith-McPhee, and I love that he's getting a bigger role because he's someone that I remember first interviewing him in Australia for Romulus My Father, which is an Australian movie with Eric Bana.
Sure.
And he was so little, and he's there with his dad. His dad's so great. And then getting to talk to him sporadically over the years, he doesn't know who the hell I am, but I'm like, oh yeah, I spoke to you when you were this big, and now you're this big, and now you're this big, and just to see his progression is so cool, and I think he's going to make a great Nightcrawler. And also, I love Ty Sheridan from Mud.
My God, he was fantastic in Mud. So when I heard that was my favorite news, because I'm like, yeah, you need somebody like that, you know, to come in, and
especially with Cyclops, because I feel like that character, for me, not reading the comic books, just seems like a waste of a character, but I know that people love him, and I'm like, I want to learn why.
You're so right, and I want to get your opinion on this, because Cyclops is the leader of the X-Men, and unfortunately in the movie verse he's not the leader.
Wolverine's,
it's kind of Wolverine
sidekick.
Yeah, and so it's nice to maybe see them turn more to the source material, have a great actor, and elevate this so where he can maybe become the leader and see that kind of dynamic from the comics.
I thought Ty Sheridan was the best of the actors who they brought in. And Ben Hardy was one of the actors who originally tested for
Cyclops.
Right.
Oh, really? Right.
Now, Do you know anything? Is Wolverine in this? This is a geeky question.
You know what? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, just assume he's a part of everything.
He is. I mean, yeah, you really can't have an X-Men movie without him. He's been in every single one, I think.
I know.
It's, yeah.
Yes.
Even first class.
He's done, what, seven films?
Yeah.
But can't keep him away from other mutants.
Yeah. So, Alicia, when you hear this cast, because I know you're, I mean, you like superhero movies, but that's not your bread and butter.
It's not my bread and butter, but indies I love. So so it's great when you hear these names, like, and then I can be all pretentious and be like, oh, yeah, well, I saw Mud in Cannes a couple of years ago, and I knew that Ty Sheridan would be big, and everyone calls me a snob.
You're the comic book guy of the indie movie scene.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, so that was very interesting with Mud.
Exactly. Like, however, oh, so what? You haven't seen that movie? So, what?
When you, in your opinion, it seems like these indie movies are the launch to the big superhero movies.
Yes,
you
definitely.
Start there, you
Same
get your next movie.
Directors as well.
Directors
start there, you get the big film, and then sometimes they do the reverse. Like Jake Gyllenhaal is an example of that, doing big blockbusters and then wanting to change his career up, firing his management team, and then going for smaller things like Nightcrawler.
Yeah,
and I think that's interesting.
Do you think these guys, when they go to, when they take the leap from the indie films, whether a director or an actor, do you think they're ever going to come back? Do you get upset from an indie standpoint? Is that your bread and butter?
Like,
you're like, wait, don't go. Oh, and they're gone.
And they're gone. But yeah,
now
sometimes they
want
to come back. You hear Chris Evans all the time talk about how he wants to direct indie films and do more indie stuff. But yeah, I'm a bit like that. I'm like, don't take everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leave some.
But is there the balance? I missed the show last night. Sorry, guys, out there in Schmoville. I was working last night. And I missed the discussion of the superhero movies versus the indie movies. I heard, but I did see on Twitter, because I got tagged a bunch of times with you, that you killed it.
Oh.
Did you school everybody? I hope
you
did.
I'm just interested in this. So superhero films and blockbusters aren't necessarily what I tend to go for. I like a smaller film that speaks to me more. But I do get the appeal, and I respect people for loving those films. I don't think that, you know, I don't want to be snobby and be like, oh, they're all bad, because they're made really well. They're made with care. They're made with great directors, especially now we're seeing that more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And James Gunn was correct in saying, you know, we take a lot of care with our characters. We really worked hard on Guardians of the Galaxy, and Guardians was fantastic.
Yeah.
So I don't take anything away from those films. I just push for the standalone original concepts more. But I want to learn more. I want to learn more about the industry and how it all works.
Of course.
Because it's fascinating to me. I was reading Sleepless in Hollywood, a book by Linda Obst, who's a producer who worked in the industry for years, and she talks about how it's all changed over the past few years, and also watching that documentary Seduced and Abandoned with Alec Baldwin,
mm-hmm.
when he goes to Cannes and he's trying to get a film financed, and it's quite funny that he can't get an original concept off the ground. They're like, what about if you do more action? You know, he wants to do a sexy thriller, and they're like, yeah, it doesn't work these days. So I find that really interesting, but people can love both films.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And I do. I mean, superhero movies, Star Wars. I'm a geek, so they kind of, I go back to those. But I have to see these independent movies, Nightcrawler, like Whiplash, like Boyhood. These things make me happy.
Me happy. That is Sundance. I'm the happiest person around.
Of course.
The only thing I get tired of is because I didn't grow up reading comic books, and it's just never something that I gravitated towards. But I grew up watching classic films and then loving indie movies. That these days, yeah, so much of what I do, all the shows that I work on talk about this stuff. And I'm like, I get challenged on my movie knowledge because people are like, you haven't read these comic books. I'm like, but when did that become the thing that you have to do to talk film?
Exactly. Who cares? Even if you haven't read X-Men, watch the movie. Then you have all the information you need to talk about the movie.
And you have to be careful. Like, I can never say, oh, I think this. People say, well, you said that you haven't read comic books, so you don't know what you're talking about.
Right, so your opinion is invalidated.
You obviously just Googled that because you don't read the books.
That's another thing
that
a fandom does not seem to appreciate, is that I don't think that the studios are beholden to source material in the way that fans want them to be.
Exactly.
You know, they're like, oh, well, Peter Parker's white in the comics, so he'd better be white in the movie. Like, yeah. It doesn't really work like that.
It's what makes a good film.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
two different mediums completely.
Yeah, and who's the right,
your
actor?
Your Peter Parker, your white Peter Parker will still exist on the page.
Sure.
But anyways, speaking of like balancing indies with, you know, major studio blockbuster fare and stuff, mm-hmm. there was a pretty big announcement last night.
Yeah. About let's talk about
Denis Villeneuve.
Yes.
I'm probably mispronouncing that.
Denis Villeneuve.
Villeneuve.
Well,
okay.
That guy, the director
of Prisoners and Enemy and Encendé,
mm-hmm. which is coming out, right?
He has got the Blade Runner sequel over at Alcon. Well, he's in negotiations, as Alcon noted in its release.
Yes, I know, and that Harrison Ford is going to be back.
Yep.
Guys, immediate reaction to this.
Oh, love it.
Thumbs up. Great call.
Thumbs up. Me too.
God, I saw that press release come in, too, and I couldn't get it to my guys in time. Well, no, actually, I did. But I was like, oh, yeah. And the first thing, and I'm sorry, Sir Ridley, I was like, thank God you're not directing it.
Yeah. I don't think he was ever going to direct it, by the way.
I didn't know because he came back for Prometheus, so I didn't know if it was going to be, you know, something that he had to get his hands on. Mm-hmm. But, man, I can't think of a better director for Blade Runner 2.
Yeah, Villeneuve has such great style. You see the darkness he has in Prisoners and how mm-hmm. he can deal with tension so well. And then you see a sci-fi element in Enemy.
And
those films are so different from each other. I mm-hmm. love that he did both mm-hmm. pretty much back to back. Remember, they were both at Toronto
right.
2 years ago, both starring Jake Gyllenhaal. So hopefully Jake gets a role.
I thought it was a great call. I am not a big Blade Runner guy. I don't worship that franchise, but I think that guy's a really talented filmmaker. I did not like Enemy at all, but
really?
I still appreciate what he did, like, style-wise. I love Prisoners. That's
yeah.
the thing. And that's really what has me excited about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And if he can get Roger Deakins, that would be amazing.
Oh yes,
please.
That would be great. So those shots were amazing.
Yeah.
Do you think Gyllenhaal has any shot at following his buddy over and...
Not a bad call. Jake Gyllenhaal, you know, he hasn't done one of these big movies in a while, and obviously we'd heard his name for Suicide Squad, and he turned
right.
it down.
Right.
So I think he could just be waiting for the right thing, and maybe he knew that Blade Runner deal was right around the corner. Who
Ooh,
knows?
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a good...
He would be a real cool lead in a Blade Runner movie, actually.
To see him stand next to Harrison
like
Ford.
Film noir, neo-noir style.
Put him in a trench coat, whatever, yeah.
Are we
Lots
getting
of rain.
Like it. Are we going to get... Edward James Olmos back?
Oh, yeah.
Come on. So I want to see him making the little origami.
Little gum.
Yeah, that's a...
Unicorn.
Yep, that is a great, great just call to get him in talks.
Yeah.
But he's going to sign on the dotted line.
Right,
I'm
it's
assuming.
Like, the people are like, well, this isn't really a done deal, you know. It says in negotiations. Alcon put out the release.
Yes.
So it's like, if they didn't think that this is going to close,
right.
you know, if Denis' reps at CAA didn't think it was going to close, then this release wouldn't have gone out.
Right. And this is what I love. As much as I like to hold on to the indies in the indie world, it is so great when you see someone like that get a big shot
right.
at something that you know that
just
they're perfect
to let him
for.
Fly. Let him spread
like
his
Neil Blomkamp. It's just like when you see someone who's perfect for that role, you're like,
yeah.
okay, this is great. Ryan Johnson and Star Wars. It's like, yes.
That's, yeah, absolutely.
Like that.
And I would even argue that, like, Blade Runner, to me, the original, is kind of like an independent sci-fi movie. It just was
yeah.
so different
Unique.
For its time
mm-hmm.
and its darkness. And it's like, it was Harrison Ford, sure. Indiana Jones and Han Solo, but he was so different in that.
Is that band still making music? What is it, Vangelis? Whatever.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
They did the theme.
Who knows?
Oh, so good, the
yeah.
music.
They could find somebody cool. I was listening to the Chromatics on the way up here from Ryan Gosling's Lost River soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
A band
yeah.
like that could do a real cool job, or like
awesome.
M83 or something.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that one.
I'm so excited to see what this movie can turn out to be. I mean, it's just so great. So, well done, Alcon.
Yes.
Thumbs up on this table.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Yeah. So, guys, I say that we get into something that we do every week. We did not do it on the Facebook page, Meet the Movie Press, on the Popcorn Network, but I wanted to do it live here, and that's a hopeful news break. Guys, like every Wednesday and Thursday, we drop some in. What's going on out there as you're reading the news and you're kind of having some wishful thinking. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do it live on the YouTube chat. So guys, I know we're on a little bit of delay. I'm going to start it off because I was in the chat room early with my boy Faz, who Foz or Faz, again, even your nickname, dude.
We're going back to him. He has another hopeful news break.
Yeah. Brad Bird directing Spider-Man. What do you think of that?
That would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be really awesome.
Yeah. That would be so great. I don't know how much, I guess, Feige is, he's producing Spider-Man, but...
I was like, how long is this music cue?
I know.
Thanks,
Phil. I
keep dancing, if you like.
We can go for 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
No, the rest of the show will be set to this music.
Yeah, it really kind of just stressful. Ups the ante here.
You know, Brad Bird is awesome. I can't wait for Tomorrowland. It looks sick. I think he would be great on a Spider-Man movie, but you know what? I'd like to see what a Brad Bird movie looks like. Like, not Spider-Man, not Mission Impossible, just like...
His own thing.
Something kind of smaller, and I don't know.
Talk about, like, you know, the indie directors jumping into the big blockbusters.
Yeah, I'd like to see a blockbuster director maybe jump back into the indie world.
Yeah.
That'd be
something
great.
A little bit more personal
That's
for him.
That's true, because you want to be able to see someone's style when they do their own thing.
Yeah.
When they do their own thing, then you can really see and get a sense of their style rather than having to adopt a franchise. But I loved Ghost Protocol.
Yeah.
Yes,
that
me
was
too.
Really well done.
He kicked butt on that. And one of my favorite movies of all time is Iron Giant.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah.
so good. So, and that felt like an independent animated movie.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Animated.
Just candid. Animated movie. All right. So we got BizGamer9, hopeful news break. DC announces when the trailer for Batman v Superman lands and the official photo of the Suicide Squad. That's a great one. Jeff, you have your hand.
A trailer announcement? I don't know.
No, when is it going to come?
When is it coming?
Yeah, everybody, I think, wants to know. I think that's the hopeful news break of the whole year.
Everyone wants to know.
Well, it's not going to be in front of...
Jupiter Ascending.
It's not going to be in front of Ultron. Could it be in front of San Andreas on Memorial Day weekend?
Maybe. Right? That's Warner Brothers?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Trailer placements. Guys, you're going to see it eventually.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, what do we need? A countdown?
Yeah. What about Suicide Squad? An image or a poster? I think we're very far away from that, guys. I think they haven't even started filming yet. So.
4 months. Do your articles. 4 months from today.
Whoa.
I don't know.
Watch out.
Yeah, okay. How about Ricardo Sanchez says Matthew Vaughn coming back for a Kingsman sequel? Do you think that's a...
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, I think Kingsman's gonna... Oh, Jeff, what's going on there?
I can see a Kingsman sequel for sure. I don't see Matthew Vaughn directing it.
Really?
I think he'll...
He's gonna book, like, Kick-Ass?
Yeah.
He seems to be doing this, just one-offs. He did First Class, left.
Yeah, you set it up, make it a successful property.
Matthew Vaughn's
like, other guy handle it.
You're welcome. Take it and go. You're welcome.
That was fucking good.
You're welcome.
Who is attached to Nemesis? Is it Carnahan or is it Matthew Vaughn?
Ooh.
The Mark Millar movie, because that's what I really want to see get made.
Oh yeah, Nemesis.
I just don't see Matthew Vaughn doing a sequel, even if it's a sequel to his own movie. I mean, he didn't do Kick-Ass for a reason, right?
He didn't do Kick-Ass.
And it suffered because of that.
And Kick-Ass was better than Kingsman. I thought I liked Kingsman a lot, and it's probably going to do better than Kick-Ass.
Yeah,
but
but I'd love to see a Kingsman 2. I think there's so much more you could do with that.
Yeah, and there's a rumor, spoiler alert, that Colin Firth is coming back. And I'm like, they're going to do that. I don't know if you've seen it, guys. But
I don't know, but I just think any movie that makes Colin Firth into an action hero is pretty awesome.
That movie was so awesome.
Yeah, I liked it. I like the kid, Taron Egerton.
Yes, yeah. he's set for big things.
Yeah, speaking of which, isn't he up for Spider-Man?
And everyone.
We're all up for Spider-Man.
And a Jedi. And he's up for Spider-Man, the Superman reboot, Star Wars.
Indiana Jones, yeah.
Jaws 5. And I don't know.
He's up for the shark.
He's
working on biting.
He's going to show his layers.
One thing I wanted to talk about before we have to get going, and I know we have a little bit more time.
Let's do it.
So yesterday I was in some meetings. I got out of those meetings. I looked at my phone, and my heart was broken.
Oh, no.
For not only did I lose the Crow Scoop.
Oh, yeah.
But it's looking like Jack Houston, according to Mike Fleming of Deadline, God, I don't like this.
You don't like him?
I haven't seen enough of his work. I'll be honest. I've only seen a couple of episodes with him in Boardwalk.
Oh, right.
I saw him in American Hustle.
Kill Your Darlings. Jack Kerouac.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like Kill Your Darlings at all. I can see it. Like, I saw the side-by-sides yesterday that the internet was churning out. And I can see how, you know, with the long hair and the face paint or whatever. But I was hoping for somebody better.
Okay.
Did you guys think?
Well, I have lost complete track of all the stuff. I'm not a big Crow guy,
okay,
to be honest with you. So it's not really on my radar that much, like maybe other movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is funny because it's a superhero... ish movie. Ish. And
well, it just seems like this project's had so many changes.
That's
so many
where
changes
I'm at.
Of director, so many changes of actor. I like him though. I want to see more of what he does. He's always on the list of ones to watch. I haven't seen the show though, so I haven't seen that much of him, but the bits I've seen in American Hustle, Kill Your Darlings, I liked.
He was real close to being Dr. Doom. He's starring in the Ben-Hur remake.
That's right.
I just feel like it's a risky call for Relativity. He's not a proven star yet. I thought that they would maybe try and get a proven star. I loved when, you know, they had the idea for Tom Hiddleston very briefly, and it didn't work out.
Right, that's right. See, that's where I've lost track, because I did have a source that I talked to that was Tom Hiddleston, or I heard something. Wait a minute.
It was for like a hot second.
Yeah, there's been so many. So it's musical chairs.
And then it was Luke Evans, it's right. So... I don't know. I've just always had high hopes for this property, and maybe I shouldn't.
I just don't want a Crow reboot.
Yeah. Neither do I. I wish that they would let it alone, but I get why.
That's right.
They want to reboot
it. But of course,
it's your jam.
It's my jam. He is my favorite superhero.
Yeah.
I just love the love story. I love revenge movies. I love a guy who... I mean, I think, honestly, if Brandon Lee had survived that shoot, he'd be making $20 million a movie.
Yeah.
I think he would be one of the biggest stars in the world right now.
I agree.
Crow curse.
Yeah.
The Crow curse.
So, I was a little disappointed. Just wanted to get your thoughts. And Phantom, if you haven't, Schmoville, if you haven't seen the original Crow, please sit down and watch that soon.
Yeah. I liked it. It's so dark. It's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. No, it's one of... I love that movie. I mean, it just didn't... you know, hit me in that sweet spot.
Sure.
But I totally respect the franchise, the original movie. I didn't watch any of the others after the original because I didn't see the need because, you know, Brandon Lee is gone.
Yeah.
And he is the Crow in my mind. So this maybe that's what they're playing with right now with this musical chairs of the Crow guy because, you know, it's like, how do you live up to that? I don't know, but... And nobody's really had a problem.
I just know Jack Huston's been on the verge of a few big roles, and so it makes sense that they would look to him. I just thought that they would go with someone a little bit more established. And again, with him, I don't know if he wants to get hemmed in as like the reboot remake guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay.
All right. I have a great question here from JP Sketch 03 on the live chat, which we have the expert here, Alicia Malone. I'm seeing a lot of flack for Eddie Redmayne playing a transvestite character.
Really?
Flack
thoughts over on Ed, what?
As transgender, I don't know. They just released pics.
Yeah, he looks great. I'd take him home for a night.
Guys, I want to know, JP Sketch 03, where are you seeing this flack? Because
what flack?
He is an Oscar winner now.
He is, yeah.
So this might, he could come back and be nominated again for this.
It's not like he won the Oscar and decided to like do this movie. Like, he's been attached for over a year.
He's obviously been filming it.
Yeah,
you
we've
know?
Known this has been coming.
Yeah,
so
what is this movie, by the way?
It's called The Danish Girl.
The Danish Girl, right, okay.
It's Einar, I forget what the actual guy's name is, but
Is this an independent movie?
I think it's a
it's like Tom Hooper. I don't know. It's probably
Tom Hooper.
It's probably like Working Title, which is like the biggest company in England.
Yeah. The guys, Tom Hooper is directing this. Hell yeah. I love Tom Hooper. You do not, don't you?
What do you love about Tom Hooper?
Are you kidding me?
The King's Speech guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like King's Speech.
King's Speech is a fantastic
movie.
Sure,
I like the King's Speech. You have to get excited about every time. No, Tom Hooper. Les Mis was painful. No, I'm not a Tom Hooper fan.
Les Mis is only painful
He's also super arrogant from what I hear.
Is he really?
Oh yeah, I hear he's a nightmare.
I just like
nice. Sorry.
Yeah,
well, he's nice in the interview, but I know that means because the camera was on him, so
yeah,
he's not
gonna. Yeah, he's
not. I'm not here. I'm not here to gossip about people, but no, I don't care about Tom Hoover directing. That does nothing for me.
Well,
no,
see, I mean, the King's Speech.
Oh, so they say there was a lot of folks wanting to see a trans actor play a trans role.
Fucking people. You know what? We're taking this podcast explicit. Yeah. These fucking people.
Thank you. Say
you
for
know
us
what?
All. Say for us all. Seriously.
Where are these transgender performers who are just like waiting to become stars? I'm sure that a transgender.
I'm sure they're out there. I'm sure there's an actor out there, but yeah.
And Tangerine got great reviews at Sundance. But it's like this is a big working title movie.
They need a name.
What is the problem with acting? You know, that's what we pay these people to do.
Right.
Is to play other people.
Right. Yeah. Totally with you, my friend. Yeah, say it for us all.
I mean, God, you know what? The fans sometimes they just get a little carried away.
Well,
yeah. Getting me worked up on a Friday.
Yeah, I think that's a good note to go out on, don't you?
Sure.
Just get all fucking pissed.
God damn it!
Since it's explicit.
No, Eddie Redmayne's going to crush that role. And it'll be interesting to see what he does after because I've heard some rumors.
Ooh.
May not be a little indie movie.
Ooh.
Oh boy, Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah,
he's going to be in Star Wars.
No, I don't think that. Well, he already came out and said he botched a Star Wars edition, but maybe he'll do something else in the studio.
That's right. Yeah,
maybe he'll do something else in that studio. Maybe he'll be singing, like in Les Mis. Who knows? You never know.
He'll be singing. Wait a minute. What's coming out? Pinocchio.
Guys, get out your magnifying glasses.
Yeah, it's. Jeff Snyder.
That's what I'm going to do at the end of these shows. I'm just going to like say something very vague so the internet can work itself up in a frenzy trying to decipher it.
That's so funny. God, I know. Now you got me thinking. It was like when you did the apocalypse casting.
Oh, right.
And it was like, right. Everybody was trying to like, I think he's saying.
It's Idris Elba. You're right. He was one of the three guys Oscar and Pedro Pascal.
He was.
All right.
All right,
man
guys.
Man of mystery, you are.
Yep, he sure is. And so, Alicia, you coming in here, you class up the joint so much. It's
yes,
so nice
thank
having,
you.
About that, but thank you.
No, it's so nice having, you know, an expert. As the Oscars call you, or E, I should say. So what do you have on tap? What's going on out there?
Oh, I've got lots coming up.
Yeah.
Starting soon with AMC will be AMC Rewind, which will be all about classic movies. So I'm really excited about that. So I'll be doing that as well as AMC Independent. And then, of course, Profiles still kick on and Schmoes, and then do stuff for Australia and stuff for New Zealand as well. So
I just want to ride your coattails. Just take me with you on your
journey.
Do you
want to hold my bag?
Yeah.
Okay. You can hold my bag.
I'm gonna go quit my job at the RAP.
Yeah,
when I get back into the office.
Done.
There you go. Some people have thrown out Beauty and the Beast.
Ooh.
That's I don't know where one would get such an idea.
Interesting. Oh boy, we just started another internet war. Whatever the
dun,
hell.
Dun dun
dun dun dun.
Remember, folks, if it's not on therap.com, don't believe it.
But if it's on schmozno.com, believe it. No, I'm kidding. So it sounds like AMC is really tapping you perfectly for what you're good at. And
yeah,
I'm so happy to see. I can't wait for the, what is it, AMC Rewind?
Rewind.
Like that's a good call for you. So when does that come out again?
That we're shooting the first episode on March 9th. So it'll be sometime during that week.
Okay.
And it's great because often on Movie Talk, I'm like, I haven't read that comic book. I don't know that thing. So now I'm like, yeah, I can show you what I know and share my passion for the stuff that I love.
Yeah, they have plenty of people for that over there. They need this.
Yeah.
Okay, because you guys. And also I want to give a shout out to on our website. We have a Throwback Thursday where we do classic movies. And we just did Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Yes, Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart. You know, we did Seven Brides for Seven Brothers last week. We did Real Bravo.
Yeah,
so guys, check out Schmoesno.com every Thursday. You're going to see some in-depth articles on classic movies that Alicia gets behind. I like that. So thank you so much, Alicia, for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Where can they find you?
You can find me at Alicia Malone on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
There you go. And Mr. Schneider?
At the end, Snyder.
Yeah. There you go. And I am, of course, at Riley Around. You can see me at schmozno.com. And next week I will be back to the main show. Sorry, guys, I've been missing a few. I've been working pretty hard. So
yeah, we miss you.
Yeah,
guys,
you.
Go watch House of Cards this weekend.
Yes, happy
House of
Cards.
I stayed up late last night watching it. It's good.
Did you already binge?
Welcome back, President Underwood.
Yeah, I can't wait. Ooh. So, guys, we will see you next Friday. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and comment all the time because it keeps the lights on here. Let's try to beat Profiles number one on iTunes.
I don't think
that'll happen. But as always, thanks, guys. Go ahead and share with your friends. We will see you next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.